cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth.
Praise God. Hebrews chapter 9. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's see chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1 first. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. I'll read from verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. It says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself,
amen,
purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Amen. Let's read that verse 3 again. It says, For who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Then it says that when he had by himself,
amen,
by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
Amen.
So we saw that he purged our sins. So this thing that happened in verse 3, when he purged our sins and sat down on the right hand, this happened on the resurrection morning. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
When he, at that resurrection morning, he purged our sins, and then he did what? He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Remember that morning when he rose from the dead? Then when Mary met him, see John chapter, I think it's chapter 20. Amen. Yes, John chapter 20. Praise God. You see that in verse 15. And it says, Then Jesus said unto her, And woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him thence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni. which is to say Master. And Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Praise God. So you see that Jesus actually ascended twice. He ascended first on this day. Then after 40 days, he ascended again. So at this point, he told her, don't touch me, for I'm going now. Go and tell the brethren that I'm ascending now unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and what? And your God. So when he ascended on that day, that's the day that Hebrews chapter 1 is speaking of. And Hebrews chapter 1, in that verse 3, at that time, in verse 3, it means that he has become the brightness of the glory of the Father, right? And he has also become his express image, the express image of the person of God, and upholding all things by the word of his power. And then it says, when he had by himself. So by himself actually means with his person. So what he actually took up to heaven, that's why he had to go, is that it's his person that was actually, it was a presentation. When he was ascending, he said, I'm going to ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And so he was going up for a presentation, because he himself bodily, praise God, in himself, the fullness, the Bible says that he has the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So he himself was a lamb. He had already been slain. Praise God. He has been slain, means his blood has been poured out. His blood has been shed. Praise God. And then he had been resurrected. Praise God. Resurrection just simply means the giving of another life. So he had been slain, means he lost a life. And then they resurrected him and he got another life. So by that, the time of that morning, he has resurrected. And then it was just remaining. Full resurrection has happened to him. And it's just remaining for him then to be presented in the presence of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Remaining for him to do what? To be presented in where? In the presence of God. So when he came, he brought himself into the presence. And of course, when you bring yourself, you are bringing your blood also. He also brought his blood into the presence of God. Now, Jesus Christ, that was the first high priestly duty of Jesus. That thing he did at that moment when he arose and went into heaven. Because that is actually the work of the high priest. That's what Aaron was supposed to do. But Aaron could not do it. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Aaron, the way the tabernacle is set up, to be actually honest with you, Aaron, if everything was okay with Aaron, Aaron could get the job done. Aaron was supposed to he's not even supposed to take the blood of an animal. Aaron is supposed to come with his own blood, just with himself, and just come beat himself with his own blood to the most holy place. Sprinkle his own blood there and sit on the mercy seat. Yes. That's what Aaron is supposed to do. If everything was okay with Aaron, if Aaron was acceptable, Aaron is supposed to do it once. Maybe after they set up the tabernacle, everything is ready, then he would just go in and he would just by himself go there and just settle. Amen. So that is the kind of thing that Aaron, but that tabernacle was, God put it there to actually show, as Aaron is going every year, every time, going into the most holy, going once a year, and just going there, he's proving something. He's proving that he is not worthy to sit. That he is not worthy to sit. He's not even worthy to offer his own blood. because his blood was even lower than the blood of bulls and of goats. Praise the Lord. Are you seeing that? So Aaron could not see. So the order is supposed to be for the high priest is supposed to come, purge, and sit. Come to the presence, then do what? Purge the sins with blood, and then sit. So what makes the high priest able to sit is that his blood is acceptable. Praise God. Are you getting me? If they ask me, what is a high priest? A high priest, let's read some verses. We'll just do something very quickly, a few minutes, and then we'll go because we've already taken all the time. Amen. Thank you. Vanahasia. About this high priest called Jesus, there are actually many things to be said concerning him, but the things about him can only be said according to the level of our spiritual hearing capacity. Remember in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, Paul said, verse 10, he said, called of God and high priest of the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, right, and hard to be uttered. So that's one thing concerning this dimension of the priesthood, is that it is hard to be uttered. It's easy to explain the priesthood of Aaron. It's not too difficult to explain the priesthood of Aaron. But to explain the priesthood of Jesus, which is after the order of Melchizedek, it is hard to be uttered. Means that it's not easy to really explain. You see, most people don't even know what happened. To really understand how is it that one man dying can deal with the sins of the world. Praise God. Can deal with all the sins of the world, and then to make men approved and righteous and able to come before God is a great mystery. The mystery of it is inside that priesthood, the Melchizedek kind of priesthood. They call him the King of Righteousness, the King of Peace, and the Priest of the Most High God. Amen. So Melchizedek is kind of priesthood, is actually the priesthood of God. It's God's own kind. Amen.
Amen.
God's own kind of priesthood. And that's the kind of priest that Jesus Christ is. So that's why it's hard to be uttered. And so also it doesn't help if people are dull of hearing. So God has to help people to be able to hear. He has to quicken the soul to be able to hear things that pertain to this priest. Amen.
Amen.
You see in Hebrews chapter, chapter 5, let's see. Hebrews chapter 5. Praise God. Verse 1, it says, for every high priest taken from among men, right, is what is ordained for men in things pertaining to God to do what? That he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. Praise God. So and by reason thereof, he ought, as for the people, also for himself, to offer for sins. And he said, no man taketh this honor upon himself, but he that is called of God, as was who?
Aaron.
As was Aaron. So also, Christ glorified himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, he glorified not himself. Christ not glorified himself to be an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten you. And as he said also in another place, thou art a priest forever, after the order of who? After the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. though he were a son, yet learnt he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that do what? To all them that obey him. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, and had to be uttered, seeing that you are what? Seeing that you are dull of hearing. Amen. Praise God. So the priest is supposed to come in. Let us see chapter 9. I want us to just see. They describe some things there in the order of service which God instituted, and just trying to compare that with Christ. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Can we read from verse 1? It says, Verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary, right? See, for there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid around about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory, overshadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. Are you seeing that? So the priest always, so always means just constantly, every day, they were always going into the first tabernacle, that is the holy place. Praise God. And verse 7 says, but into the second went the priest alone, the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood. What they mean is that this high priest that was going once every year, he had to go with blood. So another blood that's not his own blood. Well, so he can't go there without blood. Praise God. So which he offered for himself. Are you seeing that? So this priest cannot offer himself. He must bring blood with him, which he then offers for himself, because he himself is not acceptable. So he must offer blood for himself and then for the errors of the people. And then the Holy Ghost, this signifying, the Holy Ghost is using that to teach something, to signify something, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. What does this mean? It's telling you that that way, even though Aaron could go in, but it's that saying that the way, really, I mean, obviously in the spirit, was not manifest, because they had to make just the fact that he had to go in once a year, come out, means he's not really going in. Praise God. He's just a transporter of the blood. So the blood of bulls and goats and the animals will not get there by themselves. So just bring a man, and the man, cover him with things. Just make sure he's just put things. In fact, when he's coming, he had to put on his breastplate, he has to put stones, 12 stones that signify the 12 tribes. All he's saying is that I'm not even worthy to come. I'm only a messenger of Israel bringing blood for the people. Praise God. So really, the high priest of the old tabernacle didn't even have the right. That realm, it's not a realm that he has the right to go into. Praise the Lord. So why? Because the way has not been made manifest. The way into the holiest must be made manifest. Praise God. For access to that realm to happen. Amen. And so it says, verse 9, it says, for that which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to what? the conscience. He couldn't make them that are offering, doing the service perfect according to the conscience. Amen. And it says, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. Verse 11, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. Amen.
Amen.
And of course, that blood is inside him. Is inside. That's what he was going to heaven for.
Yeah.
That blood is his life, the life that is on the inside of him. He said, by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself to, without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to do what? To serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal life. Praise God. Now, so what he's saying here is that Jesus Christ was able to enter, not with the blood of anything, but with his own blood. Praise God. Then see verse 14. I want us to compare this Hebrews 9 verse 14 with that Hebrews chapter 1 verse, Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. Praise God. Now, Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, that you see, offered himself without spot to God. So that word offering himself, in Hebrews 1, when they say he had, when verse 3 says, when he had by himself. Mm-hmm. So when they say by himself in Hebrews 1, it doesn't mean that he is the one that went, he didn't send somebody, he went by himself. No. What they are telling you is that what he used was himself. Are you seeing that?
Okay.
They are telling you that what he used was himself. So when he had by himself, yes. So it what God is looking for, what God was looking for was a man who can offer himself. He's a man who can be acceptable.
Yes.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
He's a man who can what?
Yes.
A man who can be acceptable in the most holy place, who can be acceptable in the presence of God. And the reason why a man must be acceptable, and I'll also tell you why the blood of bulls and goats couldn't do a lot. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now, when you bring the blood of bulls and goats, number one, those beings, those goats, bulls, those animals, they don't have a spiritual soul. Yes. They don't have what?
A spiritual soul.
So, if they don't have a spiritual soul, they cannot have spiritual righteousness. So, when you take them, take their blood, what is inside them? When they say blood, what they're actually talking about is the shedding of their life. What is inside their life? So, when you check the blood of an animal, they don't have doesn't have a spiritual content to it. But it has a carnal content. Because their soul, all their soul is good for, is just used to drive their flesh. It has no awareness of any higher thing than just the driving of the flesh, the using of the natural body. Praise God. So, and in that realm, there is something called righteousness. Praise God. What did I say?
In that realm, there is something called righteousness.
Yes. In that realm, there is something called righteousness in terms of how they are using their what? Their body. And each of them, they have different levels of righteousness. Mm-hmm. In terms of how, what is programmed into their body life. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you cannot take a pig and go and offer a pig. in the temple. Why? Because it has a lower righteousness than maybe a bull, than maybe a goat, than maybe a heifer, than a ram. A ram has the highest kind of righteousness. So animals are in degree. If you read the book of Old Testament, you see the Lord began to say things about different kinds of animals. There are things about them, their nature, that makes them high. You can't offer a serpent in the tabernacle. Praise the Lord. You cannot offer a vulture.
Yeah.
Or a dog. You can't. Praise, right? Why is that? Because all flesh is not the same. Some are less righteous in terms of the programming of their body life. There is lower righteousness. But you can bring, a dove can come.
Yeah.
Right? There are things that the Lord listed, the kind of birds that you can bring. Are you seeing that?
Yeah.
So it means that there's something called the righteousness of the body.
Wow.
Yes. The righteousness of what? The body. Now, so if the body of animals have righteousness, it means that body of men can have righteousness. Amen. Because we've not seen a lot about the body dimension, because of course we are still just starting soul salvation.
Yeah.
So we are not even begun to see, but Jesus, for example, Jesus' body was saved. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
His body was what?
Saved.
His body was saved. So there is righteousness in body, in flesh. So you now see that when God went to help the Jews, what God instituted in that old covenant, it had nothing to do with the souls of men. When they say soul, soul means conscience. Because conscience in man is where a man's righteousness sits in. Are you seeing that? Let us read. Praise God. Thank God. God will give us just little understanding and then, amen, we'll be done today. Praise the Lord. You see in verse 9, it says, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. So when they say conscience, it means as pertaining to the soul. That service could not bring perfection as pertaining to the soul. Why? Because the blood you are bringing doesn't have soul life. But there's a life it has. It has body life or flesh life. Praise God. So you now see in verse 14, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without... Okay, let's see verse 13 first. He said, if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, he said, sprinkling the unclean. So he said, sanctifying to what?
Purifying
of the flesh. So those Jews, when they come like that and they bring their goats and all everything, and Aaron transports the blood into the most holy, what happens is that it can bring about purifying of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
That blood deals with the sins their flesh has committed. Not their soul. The sins of the soul is inside. But the sins the flesh has committed. The sins that the body participated in. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
When the body participates in sin, the body carries sin. So when they bring that, there is, for every sin, there has to be a payment for sin. There has to be a ransom. Amen.
Amen.
There has to be the Bible says you cannot purge sin without blood.
Mm-hmm.
Blood must be present to purge it. Amen. So you see, the work of the priesthood then, Levitical priesthood, is to take the blood of the animals, and then go and use the life of the animals to substitute and pay. And then when he comes out, he still now has to now begin to read the covenant. That's one of the work of the priest, is to teach the covenant. They are also teachers. What is the teaching? Is that, okay, you brought a goat and a bull. Your sin has been paid for, the sins of your body. But now you have to now go and live the life. You know what I mean? You have to go and now begin to apply what the blood, what is inside the blood of those animals. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Are you seeing that? Inside the blood of what? Of those animals. Now, these animals, when they say bulls, blood of bulls, goats, those animals, they have righteousnesses. You find out the evil things men do with their body, those animals, they don't do it. There's something about it. Check those, the animals, they are alive. There's something about them. Check them somewhere. They do faith. They operate faith at a level. Amen.
Amen.
Are you seeing that? At a level. Right? So, the Old Testament, which was written out in the tablet, and then all those ordinances which God gave to Moses when he was on the mountain, those ordinances are not for souls. They are for bodies. Are you seeing that? Those civil commandments of how to behave is about the bodies. Those are is a law that is given. So when they deal with their sin once a year, then they now have to be obeying the laws of the body, which has been given. Now, of course, that law of the body, if a spiritual man reads it, you can trace it to where it's coming from. And when you trace it, you can find the New Testament. That's what the Spirit does. He helps men able to access, using the law and the prophet, to access the New Testament. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So now, the point I want to just make here is just to show what Jesus did. Just to glorify just a little bit what Jesus actually did that was impossible for men to do. What Aaron could not really do. Praise God. So you see, what he did here was offer himself. Yes. He offered himself without spot. And then verse 14, then after he offered himself, then he purged your conscience from dead works to do what? To serve the living God. So you see that word purging, being able to purge, having what it takes to purge the conscience of man. Or the purging of the conscience of man is what makes man able to sit on the throne. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Are you seeing that? Yes, now let's compare that, verse 14. Purge your conscience from dead work to serve the living God. Let's compare it with verse 3 again. It says, who be in the brightness of his glory, that's Hebrews 1 verse 3, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. It says, when he by himself purged our sins, then he did what? Sat down on the right hand of who? Of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels and all that. Amen. He sat down there because what himself, who he brought to God, was acceptable by God. It was acceptable by God, and then it's also acceptable as a sacrifice, praise God, for many who are also to come and who are also to appear in the presence of God. So what actually takes you into where Jesus has arrived at is being able to come into the provision. Praise God. So Jesus purged the sins. Amen.
Amen.
That word purging sin means he brought the sin. He first of all took the sin by himself, in him. Amen.
Amen.
Now, He took the sin in himself, on him, in the nature of sin, on him. And then from that nature, God converted that nature into righteousness. Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. So he became sin. Jesus became sin. And then God turned the sin into what? Into righteousness. Because of that, his life, his blood became an overcoming product. So what is inside the blood is that this blood has overcome a life. Amen. Amen. When you go into heaven, they can see if the blood has overcome or not. And so because the blood has overcome, then they checked it. Okay, this blood has overcome. So no problem. So for every sin that this blood has overcome, that sin is written off. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
What did I say?
For every sin the blood has overcome,
the sin is done what? The sin is written off. Means the sin has been appeased. God can settle. Means the provision for those sins have been invented. Has been created. All that's needed is that, okay, this reagent that has been created, which is the blood of Jesus, now needs to be applied to men. And if that thing can be applied to you, believe the Bible, that nothing stops you from going to where Jesus is. Because when they check you, they see his own blood in you. They see his own life in you. That's why the Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their what? Their testimony. Loving not what? Loving not their life unto the dead. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. So Jesus did a great thing for us by purging our sins. He purged them for the cleansing. And because he purged them, he is able to what? Purge our conscience. So there's what you call purging our sin. After he had purged our sins, then he has to purge our conscience. Are you seeing that? This has our sins been purged? Yes. In himself, on that day, when he presented it before God, that sin means this sample. The sin that's in one person is the same sample. It's not than another. It's the same thing. It's like when they are trying to invent the antivirus for coronavirus, or the what they call it. Vaccine for coronavirus. Now, they don't have to do a separate vaccine for every single coronavirus in every single person.
Yeah.
See, these people have coronavirus. Okay, bring this one, take his blood, deal with that one. You know what I mean? They don't have to go to every single instance of the virus and then, you know what? One applies to all because they are the same thing. Sin is the same DNA. So, are you seeing how Jesus can? For by himself purged the sins of many. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
So when Jesus got there with his own blood, God knows what is inside men. The throne must have checked it. Inside this blood are all the evils in men dealt with. They would have checked the blood. That's why he had to become us. He became us.
Yes.
He became us. He became our sin. No one escaped. He took on everything so that those things can be dealt with in him. And his blood overcome it. He overcame it and then presented the blood to God that day after resurrection. That's why he went quickly to heaven. And we go and show God. Say, God, is there any sin left that is not that this blood is not an antidote to? The throne must have checked. You know that the throne is, when you sprinkle blood on the throne, it reads it. It was inside this thing. So Jesus must have sprinkled his blood there. The throne would have sampled the blood. Okay. Everything, every force of separation, every force of enmity, everything that poses a resistance against God's life, we are seeing answers to them inside the blood. Are you seeing that?
Yeah. So when that's what it said, by himself purged. That's the purging. The purging, it means in himself dealing with every kind of sin there is. Are you seeing that? So he means, so Jesus has purged the sins of the world. Every kind of sin. Praise God. Mm-hmm. But then there's what you now call the purging of your conscience.
Yes.
In essence, they mean the same thing, but in application, they are not the same. One has already happened, mm-hmm. once and for all. That's what they say, once and what?
For all.
Once and for all. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What it says, what? Once and for all. So that once and for all purging has happened. But what now needs to happen according to chapter 9 is what they call the purging. So the purging of your conscience is the application of that vaccine to the soul. And that one, each person, nobody can say, okay, they've created the cure to coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And then people who are infected say, as long as they've created the cure, coronavirus has ended. You know what I mean? You know, that's one of the problems now. They're already thinking about it, how they will now disseminate the thing.
Yeah.
Because if they create a vaccine, how do you make sure? There are people who are infected, they don't even know they're infected. Mm. Are you saying? Yeah. Someone came up with a silly idea to make give everybody, every single person, the vaccine. In the world, the vaccine.
In the world.
Yeah. Someone's fantasy. Praise God. But are you getting my point? That they are hidden carriers who are not even aware. That's the way it is spiritually. You have hidden carriers of sins who are Christians, and they don't even, some of us don't even believe, know that we have things. Some of us feel righteous. We don't know we have deadly things in us. That's why the opening of the eyes must happen for us to first of all see our iniquity. So we can go for the vaccine. Praise God. So it's one thing for vaccine to be invented, it's another thing for people to actually, who are sick,
yes.
to take it and apply it to themselves. Praise God. That is when the purging of the conscience happens. The purging of what?
The conscience.
I think last night in the prayer meeting, we were praying along these lines. We saw in the book of Romans that the Bible says that having been reconciled, that we were reconciled by his blood, and now being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So that being saved by his life is talking about what is inside his life.
Mm.
Men receiving it. Yes. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Men doing what?
Receiving.
And that's one of the great blessings. When we are in Easter, we thank God, we celebrate the death and the Christ and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is him ascending, him purging our sins, and him sitting. Mm. Praise God. But We need to also now begin to focus a lot on how much of that has been what? Has been applied to our soul. And I can say for certain, that this is a great season upon the earth where Jesus is particular about what he has achieved, being what? Received by men, being replicated in men being able to overcome all the sins, praise the Lord, being able to overcome all the weaknesses that the enemy has plagued us with. Father, we thank you. Praise the Lord. The Lord will help us. Thank you, Jesus. I pray, my prayer is that we'll all constantly be under the high priestly ministry of Jesus. That we won't be able to escape him. We won't be able to run away. We won't be able to hide. That because he is competent. He's very competent in his work. He can say, who is able to save to the uttermost? All them that come to God by him. So the Lord will help us. The Lord will make us victorious. He's going to create. We'll not only be celebrating. We'll get to a point where on Easter day like this, we won't only be celebrating what Jesus did in himself.
Yeah.
On Easter day, it will be a massive celebration of what Christ has done in us.
Amen.
And it won't be a lie. We'll be able to celebrate, really.
Amen.
We'll be able to, because we will know for sure, praise God, that the meaning of Easter
has been applied to us. Father, we thank you. We give you. Let's just begin to bless the Lord for everything that he has done for us. Let's just begin to thank him for his son, for this reality. And let's thank him for new opportunities that he's opening. I just see opportunities. God, the Lord, opening up various opportunities to souls. As complex as souls are, as different as souls are, that heaven will begin to create activity programs for each of us, for us to begin to access the dividends of his death, of his resurrection. That heaven will be more and more involved, much more involved, to help us through on our journey to also arrive at the presence of God, where Jesus Christ has entered, where he's our forerunner. So a forerunner has other runners coming. So that we will also run the same race that he has run and join him in that place where our forerunner has for us entered. Father, Hastia. O Nikara Namasia and Deveno, O Ratana Girias, the Prales and Volicredeno, O Ta Eta Eta Hita 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 Mona. Amen. Answer. Let's pray the Lord will begin to open new doors for redemption in our soul, within us, new doors, new access, new freedom for the Spirit of God to begin to minister purging of our conscience, to begin to minister cleansing of our heart. That the depth of our soul will begin to be exposed to the ministry of the Lord, that he will begin to bring washing of all sorts to us, even things that are hidden, hidden sins, hidden natures, things that have been buried deep within us, that the Lord God will... You begin to open up fresh seasons to expose the works of the devil. You know, Jesus Christ, for this reason was he made manifest, that he might destroy the works, all the works of the devil. Let us pray that the Lord will begin to create avenues for the works of the enemy, all his works within us, to begin to be destroyed, to begin to be dismantled by the power of God. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's begin to bless him. Matane genehe, in advance for victory. Let's begin to thank him in advance for victory. We are going to have a great shout of victory. We are going to attain victory, not just individually, in the body of Christ, in the church of Christ. Let's begin to pray that many, many, many men will begin to be made victorious by the blood of Jesus, that will begin to count victory. Masses, numbers of people, of believers, will begin to gain victory in righteousness because of what the Lord has done and what he will begin to do by his Spirit. Paniendesa ilemano elemeno elemana ilemana ilmanaske ekrihat ekrien ekrizo ekrise ekriza ekrisa ekrize ekrise ekriat ekriat dibredon eflamasano eflemesino eflemes. Let's pray. We'll begin to record serious victory over sins. You know, not just the sins. You know, there are sins that we know mainly in the churches as sins, but I mean those hidden sins, those life that we live that we don't even know as sinful, that great victory in the Spirit, because there will be a light shed within in the church. Eyes will begin to open and men will begin to come into a true realization of righteousness in the name of Jesus. Paraneta kana embraneta kana embraneta kasta zebranita kihano esamasa. May this Easter season become a turning point for many. May this season be a turning point where there will be a new thrust into God's righteousness, that by next year Easter, the celebration will be take a different turn, because many would have begun to carry out work, would have begun to make advancement in righteousness. Thank you, Father. Get a
Engrezama ele brote vendelicia alama elesinga no creto sama. Thank you, our Father. We give you glory. Father, we worship your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Our Father, we just bless your name this wonderful day. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to remember your Son and to remember your love for us. Thank you, Lord, for the wisdom that brought forth the program of our salvation, of our redemption. Thank you for such a man called Jesus, who became us, and who became sin for us, so that we can become the righteousness of God in him. Father, I thank you because of you gave him to us freely. And you said, if you could give us your Son, would you not together with him freely give us all things?
Yes.
Father, thank you because you will begin to bring us into all his provisions.
Amen.
Father, I pray that all that was done in him, by faith, Lord, we begin to, we not just claim them, but we begin to avail our heart.
Mm-hmm.
We begin to open up our soul.
Amen.
For you, Lord, to do that work in us.
Amen.
Thank you, our Father. We pray and we look forward to a time when heaven will begin to rejoice over the earth. Because many, 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 many trees of righteousness, many, many brethren of Jesus would have arisen from the earth. Thank you, our Father. Father, we receive victory. I pray for everyone tonight, this morning. I pray for everybody who is under the sound of my voice, my Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask for a release of grace. In the name of Jesus Christ. Grace, Lord, to begin to operate as overcomers.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus,
Amen.
Lord, you know everything that we need to overcome. Individually, you know where we are. You know what our next level is. Lord, I'm asking, Lord, for let this, because of today, because of, just use this opportunity, Father, for a fresh release of grace into our heart and into our lives. Thank you because the devil is defeated. Thank you because all his things in us are defeated by the blood of your Son. Father, I ask, Lord, for a renewal of covenant today. The same, the New Testament, the New Covenant. You said, this is the New Testament in my blood, which was shed for the remission of sins. Lord, I pray, God, we are not able to have a communion today, but Father, may we have a communion in the Spirit today. I ask in the name of Jesus that you begin to apply the dividend of the New Testament, the dividend of the New Covenant. Lord, I ask that you begin to write fresh writings upon our soul. You begin to enter into covenant afresh with every single one of us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Father, we are expectant of greater victories this year, the next coming weeks and months, Lord. We are praying, Lord, as we keep tarrying in your presence, as if we keep waiting before you, I pray, Father, may you move us into victory. In the mighty name of Jesus. But I also ask for grace to be faithful for every one of us. Just be faithful to the part. Faithfulness for the way, O God. Give us a priestly kind of faithfulness. Faithfulness to your words, to hear what you have to say, to receive your voice. Thank you, our Father. We give all the glory to your name. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim.